This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
Going fast on a Monday, bouncing around. We just talked to Coach Steve Lapis from CBS. He likes Villanova to cut down the nets. Let's get to Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, covering college basketball, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Ricky, good morning, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Had a phenomenal weekend. Final Four was a ton, or the Elite Eight in Sweet 16 was a ton of fun. We talked to Coach Steve Lapis in the last segment. He says it is inexplicable what Leonard Hamilton did at the end of the game against Michigan. Through your eyes, what happened? Why did he not foul down four with 11 seconds to go?
I have no idea. I think that's the question everyone's asking themselves right now. And Dana Jacobson posed it to Leonard Hamilton after the game. He didn't even think that it was a realistic scenario for Florida State to foul, judging by his reaction. So I just don't know what Florida State was thinking. Obviously, at that point, you extend the game. Hopefully, they missed some free throws. You hit some shots. The two-possession game either way, I think they still had some time to maybe mount a comeback. It just seems so strange to let the clock just dribble out like that.
All right, so you're saying the same thing the coach just said and the same thing that everybody is saying, and I'm not asking you to accuse anybody of anything. I'm just going to ask you this question. Do you think Leonard Hamilton knew the point spread?
I have no idea. Who knows?
Because the only thing that no one's talking about, the only thing that nobody's bringing up, because I had it at 4.5, so I know this, because I lost money on this, is that the line was 4.5, and his, according to Steve Lapis, he went back and looked at the film, and the assistant coaches were telling the players to foul, and Leonard Hamilton was not. So my question is, are we going to have more questions like this going down in the future when sports gambling becomes more and more legalized? Do you foresee questions like this coming up more often?
Yeah, probably. It's a good conspiracy theory. I always respect a good conspiracy theory, so I like where your head's at. If sports gambling does become fully legalized in this country, I think you're going to have questions like that all the time.
And I gave Dan Jacobson a lot of credit for the question, and then the response on Sunday from Hamilton I thought was also really interesting because he had to come back and apologize for what he said. Who got to him, do you think, and said, you made us look bad by your what are you talking about answer to Jacobson?
Yeah, I think he just realized that it really was something that the rest of the country was talking about. It wasn't, strictly an out-of-line question by the reporter. So, that was a topic talked about on every program in America the next morning, it felt like. So I think someone went up to him and told him, you have to address it.
So Michigan takes on Loyola, the Cinderella, if you will. But how do you classify Loyola of Chicago? Are they a Cinderella? I know they're an 11 seed, but they won the Missouri Valley Conference. They've got a bunch of juniors and seniors. They got two Iowa State recruits that were on that roster, so they could have played in the Big 12. This team's got talent. Is it fair to call them a Cinderella?
Yeah, I think they're a Cinderella, if only because they're an 11 seed. That's tied for the lowest seed to ever make it to the Final Four. You're right, it's a good team. Only lost five games all year. Three of those losses came when Clayton Custer was out with an injury. You look at the composition of the roster, it's some JUCO guys, some up transfers, some down transfers. Porter Moser really did a great job of piecing it together. But at the end of the day, it's a mid-major because there's only one player on the roster taller than 6'7". Typically, when they take Cameron Crutwig off the floor, they're always playing five guards and wings, and it's a really modern small ball approach to the game. I think they're fantastic. The way they're able to score so efficiently while still defending at a high level while being undersized is really impressive. I can't wait to see them play against the Michigan because I think they have a chance.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they have a complete chance. They match up incredibly well with Michigan. Whenever a school like this takes a relatively unknown program into the Final Four, we saw Greg Marshall stay at Wichita State. We saw, for the most part, we saw Brad Stevens stay at Butler before he finally left and went to the Celtics. What do you make of Porter Moser and whether or not he stays at Loyola after this year? Do you see him leaving or staying?
I mean, if he gets a good job, he should probably take it because this type of Final Four run only happens once in a career. But you look at Porter Moser's his path up to this point. I mean, he got fired by Illinois State, a school in the same conference, not too long ago. He's also under 500 for his first few years at Loyola. I think it really speaks to the patience Loyola had with him. The program wasn't trying to make drastic changes when, initially they didn't meet expectations. So I think Moser's done an amazing job. If I was another school looking for a coach, I think he'd definitely be someone I would call. From Moser's perspective, I mean, if the right job opens up, you might as well put this run to your advantage because you know, it's tough to, for as good as Loyola is this year and for as good as they look, set up for the future in an MVC without Wichita State,
yeah,
you still can't really expect this type of run every year.
No, I totally agree. I mean, this program 6 years ago was not in the Missouri Valley Conference. They were in the Horizon. So it is, it's been a meteoric rise for Loyola, and a great, great job by Porter Moser to put this program on the map in a big, big way. And I would agree with you on leaving if you could. On the other side, what do you make of this matchup between Kansas and Villanova? I think it's a de facto national championship game.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's going to be a great game because there's going to be so much shooting and athleticism on both sides. Both teams like to play small, flood the floor with four or five shooters at a time. It's going to be really interesting to see Udoka Azubuike versus Amari Spellman, the two centers in the middle. Spellman can step out and hit the three at a 45% rate. Azubuike is just a load inside. He's about 290 pounds. He doesn't miss when he gets in close, so I can't wait to see that. Jalen Brunson versus Devontae Graham is going to be fantastic, too, with two veteran point guards. And then you have all these supplemental shooters on both sides. Michael Bridges has been on fire in the tournament. You look at Gerald Vick, and what Malik Newman did against Duke was incredible. So I think it's going to be run and gun. I think it's going to be up-tempo and fun and athletes and shooting. So it's a great matchup, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, and I think it's going to kind of be on the same line as the overtime game between Duke and KU, right? Kind of a similar excitement back and forth, two heavyweights kind of pounding each other for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I think so for sure. What really impressed me in that game was that Kansas was able to rebound against a Duke team that's number one in the country in offensive rebound rate. Villanova's a pretty good rebounding team, too, so it'll be interesting to see if Kansas's guards and wings can still step up and grab that many boards, continue to box out like that. I expect it to be a slugfest. I would favor Villanova, but I think Kansas definitely has a chance.
All right, Ricky, get you out of here on this. If it's a Villanova-Loyola final, are you interested?
I'm definitely interested. I'll be there, actually. I'm covering the Final Four for SB Nation. I'm based in Chicago, so I guess Loyola is sort of the hometown team for me. I've had some family members that went there, so I think that would be an awesome game. I think Villanova would probably smoke them, but, you know, at this point, it's sort of tough to doubt Loyola. They kind of got that Team of Destiny feel riding into the Final Four, so we'll see.
Yeah, when Butler and UConn played in 2011, it was a pretty ugly game. Only 94 points were scored combined in that one for UConn's win. I think we see a much different type of style of game if it is Nova and Loyola this time around with Cinderella getting to the final. Ricky, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it.
Cool, thanks.
As Ricky O'Donnell joining us from SB Nation on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I think that